So Mark chapter 9, this is the last little part of Mark chapter 9. We've been in Mark for a long time. We will finish the book of Mark in the spring. I'm really excited about next week because in the book of Mark, we're going to get to hear from my brother from another mother, Keith, who is not in here right now. He is almost as big as me, and he's going to be teaching next week, so you're going to want to be here. You won't have to, like, crane your neck to see him. You'll be able to see over the people in front of you. But tonight we're going to talk about Mark 9, verse 43 through 48. So if you're there, we'll read that in a moment. But I titled the sermon tonight, What Jesus Thinks About Sin. What Jesus Thinks About Sin. And as I put that out there, we need to think, well, what do I think about sin? You know, what do you think? Don't answer out loud, but what do you think about sin? Like in the struggle against sin, do you feel like you're putting up a fight, or you just let sin come in your life? You're like, whatever happens, happens. Or are you fighting sin? You feel like you have days where you like win that battle against sin, and then other days where you go to bed and you're like, man, God, I just totally blew it today. Is sin a big deal to you, or is sin just like, man, not a big deal, right? I'm just a kid. Are there certain sins maybe that you consider to be okay? Well, our passage today, Jesus, our loving shepherd, our Lord, he tells us what he thinks about sin. And we'll see three things. We'll see that sin, we'll see the causes of sin. So the first thing we'll see is the causes of sin. The second thing we'll see is the cost of sin. And the last thing we'll see is the need to be cutting off sin from our life. Let me read this, verse 42. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 43. Okay, there we go. Verse 43. Do you guys have that in your Bible? I want you to put your finger there. This is not my thoughts. These are Jesus' thoughts. This is not Jacob's opinion saying, hey, stop being bad. This is Jesus, our Lord. He says, and if your hand causes you to fall away, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed, that means with your hand cut off, than to have two hands and go to hell, the unquenchable fire. In verse 45, and I want to make a note there, it goes from verse 43 to verse 45 in most of your Bibles. That's not a mistake. Some manuscripts, when they write this, when they discover manuscripts, some of them do not have verse 44, some of them do. Verse 44 says the same thing as verse 48. So we'll get to verse 48 in a moment, but it's very repetitive as far as the punishment. So verse 43 says, cut your hand off. Verse 45, and if your foot causes you to fall away, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And then it skips verse 46 and goes to 47 because some manuscripts don't have that. Not a big deal. If you want to talk about that later, I'd love to bore you to death with the reliability of Scripture. It's true. Verse 47 says, though, and if your eye, so he said your hand can cause you to sin, your foot now, and if your eye causes you to fall away, gouge it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. Verse 48, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Okay, let's pray here. Father God, we pray that you would open the word to us. Some of the things we read there are maybe confusing. Some of them are confronting towards us and we don't like them already. And some of them are convicting. But open your word to us, but God, would you do the work in our hearts of opening us to your word, opening us to trust your words more than the world's words, more than even what we say we should do. God, help us to listen to you. And we ask you to do that because of what Jesus has done, and we ask that in his name. Amen. All right. A few years ago, a movie came out called 127 Hours. Has anybody seen that movie? Anybody know what I'm talking about? In the movie 127 Hours, this is probably not one for you to go home and watch as a family. It's kind of a sad, weird movie where this guy named Aaron goes on a hike in Utah, and he's an adventure guy. He doesn't leave a note, which was a really bad idea. He doesn't leave a note. He just goes out in the wilderness. He's hiking, climbing for several days, and he's climbing on this boulder, and it falls. And he falls down in a crevice, and the boulder comes like Wile E. Coyote. You ever see those? Woo! The boulder comes tumbling after him, and his wrist and his hand get crushed by that boulder up against the rock, like the cliff. So he's stuck down in this crevice in the middle of Utah, all alone, hasn't told anyone where he's going. He's just stuck, can't move. So he calls, hey, help, help, help. And days go by, no one's helping. Since he's got his rope with him, he kind of grabs the rope and he tries to like tie it around the boulder and use his body weight to lift the boulder, and that it's not moving. He can't do anything. This is a true story, by the way. Then he realizes he's got his survival knife in his pocket, so he gets his survival knife out, and he thinks, I can cut this boulder in half, and it'll fall. So he, for days, he's picking at that boulder. He's starving to death. He's having to drink his own urine while he's doing all this. And then he realizes after his knife is really dull, I'm not going to be able to do this. And he's at the point where he has a decision to make. Do I die out here, or do I cut my hand off? And the movie's super gross. I'm not at all saying go home and watch it, but the story's true. And he had to come to a point where he said, I'm going to cut my arm off. It was really gross. I'm not saying go watch the movie, but it's a true story about this guy. And he cut his hand off. Oh, I just can't. I wouldn't have been able to do that. If you know me, I hate any sight of blood. I hate even saying the word blood. But I like that story because it gives us a picture of what sin is like. Like, sin will pin us down. Sin will keep us in a place where we can't even live our life. Sin can only be defeated by taking drastic measures. And that's what Jesus says in this passage. But first, let's look at what causes sin. Jesus tells us what causes sin in verse 43. So the causes of sin. He says, and if your hand causes you to fall away, cut it off. And if your foot causes you to fall away, cut it off. And if your eye causes you to fall away, gouge it out. So some things in life require cutting, some require gouging, but Jesus says there are things in life that will cause you to fall away. Now, you may be asking, how can my hands and my feet and my eyes cause me to sin? Like, aren't hands good things? Like, yeah, God gave us hands. Those are good things. Feet are nice. Some of y'all got stanky feet. I mean, they're not so nice. But even your eye, you're like your eyes are good, but they can cause you to sin, is what Jesus is saying. I tried to think about it, like, what are some ways you could sin with your hands? Like, your hands are like what you do. Like, you create with your hands. You work with your hands. You could sin with your hands by hitting someone, harming someone, stealing. You know, one of the Ten Commandments to steal. It's really hard to steal unless you have hands. To make false idols is one of the Ten Commandments you can break with your hands. To create things that are more important in your life than God, little things that you can even hold in your hands can keep you from your relationship with God. You can even murder with your hands. Think about with your feet. Like, how can your feet cause you to sin? When you think about your feet, like, your feet take you everywhere you go, okay? Your feet carry you everywhere. Like, today I went on a run this afternoon. It was so beautiful looking at the leaves. But without feet, that would have been really difficult. It would have been the hop. I hopped 5 miles today instead of I ran 5 miles, right? Your feet are where you go. So when Jesus says, if your foot causes you to sin, you say, well, Jesus, I'm pretty good in that category. Like, I don't kick people in the face with my feet, right? And what he's saying is, your feet are like where you go. Like, are there places in your life where you go and you know you're going to be tempted to sin? Or think about this. Like, do you have an athletic ability that causes you to sin? You get prideful about your abilities. And then the last one, he says, your eyes. Your eyes can cause you to sin. And that one's a little bit easier for me to understand because with our eyes, we partake of all that's going around us. And our eyes can cause us to sin. They cause us maybe to envy what other people have. Yesterday, Mary and I, we went to Franklin, Tennessee, which is where all the major Nashville music stars live. They live in Franklin with these massive houses. And as we drove by, my eyes were causing me to envy what they had. Or also my eyes were causing me to judge those people. Like, how dare those rich people buy a big house? If I was rich, man, I'd give all my money away because I'm so much better than them. Our eyes can cause us to lust, to see beauty and say, I want that and I want it now. Our eyes can cause us to, in our heart, have a conversation where we say, I deserve that, or if only I had that. So those are the causes of sin. Our hand, our eyes, our feet can cause us to sin. But now I want you to see what Jesus says about the cost of sin. Look at verse 47 in your Bible. Do you have that? Verse 47 in your Bible. It says, Jesus says, and if your eye causes you to fall away, gouge it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye, be nicknamed Winky when you get to heaven. Like, hey, what's up, Wink guy? Oh, I see you struggled with sin, so you gouged out your eye, right? That's weird. Side note. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire does not quench. Sin is costly. That's what Jesus wants us to see. That's why Jesus takes sin so seriously. Like, sin is costly both now and also eternally. Like, sin is costly now in your life. Like, sin, there's a famous quote that I love to hear and that it helps me a lot. Like, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. Has anybody heard that before? Man, it's so true. Like, sin will keep you longer. You're like, man, I just wanted to get this little bit of joy, but now I'm stuck, and I've got this habit in my life that I can't get rid of, and it's not bringing me any joy, and I've been doing it for a long time. That's what sin does. John Owen, a famous pastor, he said that Christians need to be killing sin or sin will be killing you. He said, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. And that's true in this life. Like, sin will so destroy you that you have no joy in life. You have no feeling of purpose or direction in life. You're like that guy who's just stuck there, a big boulder of sin, just keeping you from doing anything, keeping you from having joy in your relationships because you're stuck in sin. So sin is costly in this time, but it's also costly eternally. Jesus points that out. This is the truth that maybe not all of us think about. Every single person is going to live forever. The choice is, will you live forever with God, or will you live forever separated from God? And we see this as Jesus says that we'll be thrown into hell where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So if you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about that. The truth is, you'll be with God forever. But if you're not a Christian, this is what you get to look forward to, is a worm that doesn't die and the fire is not quenched. Okay? And what he's saying there is, he's saying, if you're not willing to cut off sin in your life now while you're alive, then that sin will get cut off, but it's not going to be cut off by anything from this world. He says it's going to be cut off by worms. Worms that don't die are going to eat you away. He says that foot that you won't cut off, that sinful habit, whatever it is that you won't cut off, if you won't cut it off, a fire that never quenches will burn that out. Those things in your life that I'm telling you to get rid of, if you won't get rid of them, if you won't trust me, if you won't seek my glory instead of those things, he says, you will go to the unquenchable fire that's going to burn it off. So sin is costly. So Jesus has told us the causes of sin. He's told us the cost of sin. And then the last thing he tells us is how to get rid of sin is to just cut it off, to cut sin off. In verse 43, he says, and if your hand causes you to fall away, cut it off. I have three kids. My son is Daniel. He's as tall as me because I'm really little. He's not really as tall as me. But he got a splinter a few months ago. I don't know how he got the splinter, but my son, does anybody like splinters in here? Nobody does? I kind of like them because they're fun to like dig out. And it's like if you're in a boring meeting or listening to your boring youth pastor, you've got something to do. You're like, oh man, he's really boring, but I got a splinter right now. And this is something to do. My son, he hates them. He hates splinters. But he wants to like keep them in his hand. I think he hates the removal of his splinters. And so Mary, my wife, and I, we told Daniel, hey, we got to get rid of this because your hand's going to rot off. Okay, we just go that far. We don't just say it's going to sting. We just go like, do you want to enter life maimed, right? Do you want to not have your hand? And Daniel finally gets convinced by our lies and says, all right, yeah, you guys. So we get him laid down on the couch after like a 15-minute negotiation, and there he is laying there, and Mary gets the, do you use tweezers or do you use the sewing pin? The little needle. What were we using? I think it was probably a needle. Just depends. So Mary gets, can I see your hand? Mabry, can I use your hand? I don't have a thing. Okay, so Mary gets Daniel's hand, and she holds it out, and then Daniel starts to do what? Wiggle away, right? Oh, sorry, I did that like you were six, so you didn't think it was as cool as he did. He was wiggling away, and he's like, you're not touching me. I don't trust you. I think you're going to kill me. I want to keep my hand intact. Just let it rot off, is what he was saying, right? So Daddy got involved, and I'm probably for another year or two, I'll be bigger than Daniel and able to do this. I kind of just hold him in place because the whole like stay still thing isn't working. So it's my job to just keep him pinned down while Mary just gets the, you know, the little 10 seconds that it took to get the splinter out. Meanwhile, Daniel's pouring sweat, crying, screaming, just going nuts because he doesn't trust us. He thinks, man, I'd rather keep the splinter in my hand that's going to cause a lot of pain than I'll let you take this out. Now, why am I telling this? Jesus is our good Father who knows what's good for us. He knows what needs to be removed from our life. Just like Mary and I are good parents most of the time towards Daniel. We love him, care for him, want what's best for him. We're trying to remove that. Jesus is telling us in this passage, you need to take sin seriously. And he says, attack it straight on. He says, don't just let it just gross up your life. He says, cut it off. He doesn't say, okay, try just not sinning as much. He says, cut it off. He says, cut it off. He says, take drastic measures. He's not, okay, for those of you who might be a little bit confused, he's not literally telling you go home and cut your hand off. I don't want to be responsible for one of you doing that and saying my youth pastor said to do it, okay? But he is saying take drastic measures. And how I know he's not saying literally cut your hand off is if you cut your hand off, can you still sin with your other hand? Yeah. Can you still sin if you cut both your hands off? Yeah. Sin comes from your heart, right? Think about the one with your eye. Like, this confused me as I read the passage. Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter heaven with one eye than the other. How easy is it to continue to sin if you have one eye? Like, you can still easily sin. Jesus is saying, address the sin issues in your life as they come to you. He's saying, don't go to those places with your feet that are going to cause you to sin. Don't do those things with your hands that are going to cause you to sin. Don't even look at those things that are going to cause your eyes to sin. He attacks it straight on. And as I think, like, what would it look like as a teenager to deal with sin seriously? I thought about, like, for me, like, what is it like for me to deal with sin seriously? Like, for me, it's what I watch. Like, I have to watch, or I have to be on guard against the things that I bring into my life. Like, there are some really, really well-made shows on Netflix and on Amazon that I would love to watch that are very trendy, but those are things that Jesus has said, man, gouge your eye out before you get caught to stumble. I'm not saying you guys can't ever watch a show. I'm saying for me, I hear Jesus's voice saying, cut that out. And so I have to filter everything that I watch. Another thing is what I do. Like, there are things that I have to say no to, not wrong things, but just things that would make my calendar so busy that I need to say no to, because if I say yes, I'm going to be so busy that I can't invest in my family and I can't invest in what's most important in my life. Another way for me is the places that I go. Like, there are places that I just need to not go because I know I'll be tempted to sin. And it's also the people that I'm with, like who I'm with. There are people I have to stay away from because my heart wants to impress them, so I'll be more willing to do evil things, stupid things, mocking people behind their back. So I need to stay away from those kind of people. In high school, when I became a Christian and then realized what that meant for my life, I had to totally change my friend group. Like, I was one of the popular kids. I went to the really small school, though, so there's like 30 people in my class. So it's not like everybody's popular there. But I had to change from being like the guy that was like, man, everybody was around him, to just being like, man, I just can't be around y'all because I know what you're going to do on the weekend. And I don't want to, like, one time my friends, they fooled me into going this rated R movie. And I didn't have any idea. I told them I'm not going to go see that movie. I said, I'm not going to do it because I know what's going to be in it. I know what it's going to do to my heart, and I'm not going to do it. And they said, well, Jacob, we're not going to go do that. We're going to watch something else. Okay, cool. And so they get me there and fool me, and they're showing the movie that I told them I'm not going to see. And I just had to totally change who my friends were as a result. I'm thinking about your life, though. What does it look like in your life? Like, what are the drastic measures you need to take to deal with sin, to cut off sin before you're tempted? Like, it might be shows that you're tempted to watch, or when you watch those, you're tempted to go places you shouldn't go. It might be for you, it might be social media apps that just kill you. Like, you are constantly barraged with notifications and people that you need to catch up with, and hundreds and thousands of things that you need to do on your phone that are just killing you trying to keep up. And it's almost like your arm is, instead of pinned to a boulder, it's pinned to your phone, and you just can't get away from it and do what you need to do and invest in those who are close and listen to the Lord, because you're pinned down by even just your phone. It might be that you're sinning with your eyes, that there are things that you look at that you are dominated by that instead of the glory of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, cut it off, because it's better to enter heaven with one eye than to enter hell with both of your eyes. Think about this. Is there a season of your life that you can think of in the past where you felt like you were really close to God, like closer to God than you are right now? Like, I go through seasons where I say, man, I remember when I was closer to God. There's a story of an elderly couple driving in their pickup truck, and it's just an old guy. Picture him driving down Sunset. They're listening to country music, right? And the wife, she's sitting over there, and she says, honey, man, I remember when we were so close when we first got married. We loved each other. We told each other. I remember, in fact, we used to sit next to each other in the truck like this, but now we don't anymore. The husband's just driving off in the sunset. He said, yeah, honey, I remember that too, but I haven't moved. And it was his wife who had scooted away from him. It was his wife who had said, yeah, I'm just going to sit over here instead of next to you. I'm going to sit over here by myself. And that's what it's like in our relationship with God. Before we know it, we're scooting farther and farther from God because we're pinned down by sin, or because some sin is crushing us. Okay? Jesus tells us to take sin seriously because Jesus hates sin. Jesus hates sin because he sees what it does to us. Just like I hated the splinter in my son's hand because I knew it caused pain and it just wasn't for his good. In a million times worse is sin. And Jesus sees the way that sin can destroy us. Sin can keep us from living. Sin keeps us from just living the life that God has for us, and he hates it. But he also loves us. Like, Jesus hates sin, but he loves us. He loves us so much that the Bible tells us that Jesus became sin for us. That on the cross, that Jesus, he became our sin so that we could be righteous in God's eyes. That on the cross, Jesus didn't just cut his hand off He let it be nailed to the cross. And he didn't just cut his feet off. He allowed his feet to be nailed to the cross so that all of him was nailed to the cross so that all of him could be cut off and separated from God. That on the cross, Jesus was totally separated from God because that's what you deserved, but he took your place. And the Bible also tells us that Jesus died on the cross, that he died, was separated from God in our place. But the story doesn't end there. The story ends with Jesus being resurrected from the dead. It ends with Jesus being alive. And that's not just there so that we can eat Easter bunnies at Easter time. That's there because we can have hope in this life. When Jesus was raised from the dead, it was him saying, I'm better than this. I'm stronger than sin. I'm more powerful than death and evil. And what Jesus' resurrection means for us, it means this. If you're a Christian, you have the power to say no to sin. Like when you're tempted, when you're in that situation, whatever it is, when you're in that place, whenever that thing comes on your phone, you have the power to say no. Because you're a Christian, because Christ lives in you. You have the power to say no to sin. Romans chapter 6 is all about the power we have because of Jesus to say no to sin. I didn't believe that. I didn't know that for 25 years of my life. I remember around age 25, I realized this truth that I don't have to sin. Sin has no power over me. The second thing, I think, was that one up there on the slide? No, it wasn't. If you're a Christian, you have power to say no to sin. If you're a Christian, there it is. Jesus has declared war on your sin. If you're a Christian, that's good news for you because Jesus has said, I'm going to get rid of the sin in Jacob's heart. I'm going to get rid of the sin in Luke Dalton's heart. And as much as you try to hold on to your sin, Jesus has said, hey, let go of that. I'm getting rid of that. That has no purpose. That has no life in you anymore. And he's going to remove that sin. And you can take that as confidence that he's going to remove sin in your life. And the last one is, you are part of God's mission. Because Jesus is alive, you have a mission. You have work to do that God has called you to. And the last thing I want to say is just kind of bad news. If you're not in Christ, if you're not a Christian, you are enslaved to sin and you have no help. You are on your own fighting sin. Like God's not going to come help you until you say, help me, God. But if you say, I got this, I'm going to just move the boulder by myself. I'm just going to scrape until my sin's gone. I'm just going to try harder until I don't have as much sin, and then I'll become a Christian. God's saying, stop it. He's saying, come to me, all ye who are weary, and I'll give you rest. He's saying, come and take my life. Come and take my righteousness and be free and be forgiven in Christ. If that's you, I want you to talk to me before you leave. Talk to one of the adults or even talk to another student about how you can be right with God. It's not through your efforts. It's not through you being awesome. It's through trusting in what Jesus has done. I'm going to pray a prayer, but I want you to pray it with me. If you're a Christian, I want you to pray this prayer that's going to be up on the screen. I think it's two or three slides long. And let's make this a true prayer of almost declaring war on sin in our lives. Okay? Let's pray. Jesus, help us to honor you with our hands. We've done evil. We commit our hands to you. Help us to honor you with our feet. May we walk on your path. Give us your word and light to follow you. Help us to honor you with our eyes. Give us covenant eyes devoted to you. We struggle with lust and with envy. Sin is deep in our hearts. Jesus, only you can free us from sin's grip. Jesus, I surrender to you. Help me to act forcefully towards sin. Amen.